Chapter 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hears his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I should say it's so fun to hear all the noises of little children this Sunday morning. It just makes me my heart warm. And it's also not mine, which is nice too. Really flies by with a newborn. Like, it's gone already. And so many people tried to warn me of that, and I didn't really know if I believed them a few weeks ago. I do now. For me, this time flew by, and days just disappeared between diapers and bottles and glimpses of sleep. For the most part, during these last 6 weeks, I focused on our new family member, on little Hadley, who you can see sitting in the back in case she starts fussing again. I focused on her, and I didn't really think too much about work or church or anything until Sundays rolled around. Because Sundays became really difficult. Every day, every Sunday at 9:30, I happened to look at the clock, and I thought about missing worship, missing communion, missing church, and missing our lives together. Our text from Acts reminds me of how we live together in Christ. This text shares with us the lives of the early church, telling us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And day by day, as they spent much time together, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And I have been missing our time together, here at our church and outside these walls, breaking bread together both in communion and in fellowship. I've missed praising God together. I've missed our community. And I've missed our lives together here, like the early church, the ways we devote ourselves to God, to God's word, to serving those outside our walls, and to each other. Our lives together in Jesus are so much more than Sunday mornings, but these last 6 weeks on Sundays, I was reminded of Bethany, and I found myself missing this community. I've missed sharing the gospel together. Each week in this week's reading from John, I am reminded of the great love that Jesus gives us, this great life that we receive through Jesus. And in case you didn't notice a theme in the songs or in some of the readings, this Sunday is Good Shepherd Sunday. And this year in our reading from John, Jesus is not just the shepherd, not just the one guiding and providing for the sheep. Jesus is also the gate in the enclosure. And at night, the gate was closed to keep the sheep inside, to protect them from thieves and bandits and other predators. The gate protects the lives of the sheep. During the day, the gate opens and the shepherd guides the sheep to pasture, to eat and to be made full. The gate opens to allow the shepherd to provide life-giving nourishment for these sheep. And Jesus tells us that he is both. Jesus as the gate protects his followers, and Jesus as the shepherd provides for his followers. And this imagery of Jesus as gate and shepherd, of Jesus as protector and provider, is one that we can lean on in times of struggle, in times of suffering. Like in our psalm reading from today, "The Lord is my shepherd," in times of suffering, we reach out to Jesus. Which is why, for me, our text from 1 Peter can be so difficult. Because in Peter's letter, he seems to glorify suffering. These words from Peter have been misused for so many centuries. telling people that they should just suck it up and deal with it, because that's what it means to be Christian, is to suffer. How many people living in abusive situations were told to just endure? How many times was someone told that responding to abuse in healthy ways was in some way returning abuse? How many were told wrongly not to threaten those who cause suffering? How many were told and pressured to just stay silent? And it's a common refrain throughout our history as Christians to glorify suffering. And maybe you have found yourself hearing similar words of discouragement from other people during difficult times in your life. But it's important to remember the context of Peter's letter. This text is not about glorifying suffering, but finding comfort amidst suffering that can't be changed. In verse 18, a verse that is left out of our reading for today, Peter introduces this portion of the text. Peter says, "Slaves, accept the authority of your masters." Peter, in this part of his letter, is not writing to the leaders of the church. He's not writing to those in charge. He is preaching to slaves. These are people with no status. They were often aliens or exiles. They had no control over their lives. One writer describes these slaves as the people who had no power to do anything other than suffer. That is the context Peter is writing in here. Peter isn't trying to glorify suffering. He's not advocating that people find ways to suffer for the sake of good, just so they can have God's approval, or that they should put up with suffering because to escape it is somehow less than. Peter is giving pastoral care to people who are already suffering deeply, daily. This is a letter of comfort. Peter is trying to give comfort to those whose lives are filled with pain, heartache, and injustice, providing comfort for those who suffer and cannot escape that suffering in this life. Peter is trying to give hope to these people by sharing with them the new life they find in Jesus. Peter, in his pastoral care to those first hearers of this letter and to us today, knows that in the midst of struggle, suffering, or just life in general, we reach out to Jesus, and Peter gives us Jesus, so we can hear that. Jesus the gate, our protector. Jesus the shepherd, our provider. Jesus our Lord, who experiences suffering with us. Jesus who experiences the suffering of this world and still saves us. Jesus doesn't want to glorify pain. Jesus doesn't want our lives to be filled with suffering for the sake of following his example. Jesus came so that we may have life and have it abundantly. These final words in our reading today from John 10 remind us that Jesus did not come to this world just to be an example of righteous living. I'm going to say that again. Jesus did not come to this world to be an example to us. Jesus came to this world to save us. And Jesus tells his disciples this, and he tells us this. He reminds us, "I came to bring life abundant." Jesus came to give us life, and this life is given to us through his shepherding, his provision, for his protection. The abundant life is given to us by Jesus, who, as Peter reminds us, himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from our sins, we might live for righteousness. Peter reminds us that by Jesus' wounds, we have been healed. This is the protection the gate gives us. Jesus protects us from sin by taking on our sin at the cross, and this is the way our shepherd provides for us. Jesus heals our wounds by conquering sin and death in his resurrection. Jesus gives us a life so that we might live righteously, free from sin, so that we might live abundantly with healing for our brokenness. This is the life of abundance Jesus brings, a life of love, a life of mercy, and a life of forgiveness. And like the early church in our reading from Acts, we share in this life together, living abundantly in community, so that together we can praise God for the incredible gift of life we have received, so that we can care for each other and those outside of our community in times of suffering, and we provide care with glad and generous hearts, so that together we can break bread both in fellowship and in remembrance for the incredible things Jesus has done and is doing for us. So that on all days, and maybe particularly on those Sundays that we've been missing, Together we can live abundantly, thanks to our shepherd, our gate, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.